Teacher friends, I have a very exciting would you rather question for you, and I'm very curious which one of these options you would pick. Would you rather have unlimited sick days in a school year, but you legit had to be sick in order to take them? Or would you rather have 5 additional personal days that could be used for any reason? What is your initial thought on that? Like, what is your gut reaction? The sick days or the personal days? My gut reaction is give me the personal days. Like, that's what I want. And I'm curious how you would respond to that. Because I don't care whether you are 6, 36, 56, or 106 years old. Would you rather questions get your mind thinking critically in a fast and effective way? But it isn't until we take it a step further that we really start learning more about why people pick what they pick. Because there's always a backstory. There's always something more to the situation. In fact, I think this is a really powerful tool in classrooms. I think this is a really powerful conversation tool and a catalyst for meaningful communication, connection, and camaraderie in the classroom. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about in this episode. How I have utilized Would You Rather remixes in my classroom, and how I take just a standard question and bring it to a whole nother level in advisory, homeroom, social emotional learning, and ways to capture the hearts and heads of kids simply by throwing out a powerful conversation topic. It does not matter what age group you teach or what subject area you are in, this is an episode that I know that you are going to find awesome. So let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Recently talking with a group of business owners who are part of my community, and they brought up a statement that I could not ignore. We were having business conversations about hiring and firing, but what they said about the current generation of kids, I had to take off my business hat and put on my educator hat, because I just could not allow this generation of kids and this generation of learners to get slayed. And the comment that a group of these business owners made was that kids are incredibly selfish these days. They're not showing up to work because their agenda, their needs are more important than the needs of the company or the organization that they are employed with. And I'm like, I hear what you're saying. I do. Like, I understand the frustration of the business owner and how we have to hire so quickly and fire so quickly simply because kids aren't showing up and kids aren't doing the work. I get it. However, I just incredibly disagree with the statement that kids are selfish and they only care about their own agendas and their own feelings. In fact, I had the data to back it up. And I want to share this conversation with you, and I want to share why this conversation was able to be backed up because of something that actually unfolded in my classroom. So, as many of you know, I have a curriculum that I wrote for students, And it's based off of things that I know work. I believe that we have to have kids who are life, college, and career ready. And in this case, the reason why I was able to back up my feelings on that's not true. Kids are not selfish. Kids are not always lazy. Of course, there's situational things that cause kids to be lazy or selfish, but I don't think that we can make this overarching statement. The reason why I was able to back that up is because I had done a Would You Rather remix in my classroom. A Would You Rather remix that was actually part of my 180 days of awesome social and emotional learning curriculum. It was a lesson that I had written a number of years ago when I decided to bundle all of my best advisory or SEL or morning meeting lessons. Like, I have that working document and I busted one of these out a few Wednesdays prior to this conversation with the business owners. And it was a really interesting one that I have done a number of years in my career, but I hadn't done it in the past couple of years. And the Would You Rather remix question was, would you rather only cry for the rest of your life, or would you only laugh for the rest of your life? If you could pick just one of those, only cry for the rest of your life or only laugh for the rest of your life, what would you pick? And part of why this is so powerful is anytime I'm doing this, I get kids' initial reaction. We do a super secret vote and kids have to vote with just their initial thoughts. We're not going to discuss it. You can't ask clarifying questions. You can't say, but what about this or what about this? You have to go with your gut instinct. And it was really interesting because when we did our initial votes, it was not unanimous. It wasn't even close to unanimous. In fact, I wonder what you would pick. Like, what's your gut instinct? If you could only cry for the rest of your life or only laugh for the rest of your life, like, what would you pick? Because in a classroom of middle school kids, the initial vote was 8 to 10. 8 kids said, I would choose cry. 10 kids said, I would choose laugh. And that caught me off guard because that was nearly a split decision. My heart and my head said, oh, kids are definitely going to pick laugh. And I wonder if the results of my class would mimic the results of your class. Even if your kids are younger than middle school or older than middle school, like, what do you think would be the initial thought of your students that you have right now? Because in my class, it was 8 to 10. But what was even more fascinating than that was the conversation that unfolded afterwards. After kids did their super secret voting and gave their initial thought, that's when I started pulling popsicle sticks and saying, okay, let's create a T-chart. Let's create the pros and cons of only crying, and let's create the pros and cons of only laughing. And immediately, kids started raising their hands, and I want to share some of the things that were said. One kid said, well, pros of crying is there's a such thing as happy or sad tears. They said, if you can only cry for the rest of your life, like, people cry happy tears a lot, especially as you get older. And they referenced that, like, their parents sometimes cry when they're really happy. And they said, but it does also mean that you can cry if you're sad. So you can get multiple emotions simply from only crying. And then another kid raised their hand and said, yeah, but a con of only crying would be like at a funeral. Because if you could only laugh for the rest of your life, what would that look like at a funeral? Can you imagine walking into a situation where people are sad, people are hurting, and they are wanting to cry, but laughter erupts? And the kids are like, oh my God, I did not think about that. And then we had this really interesting conversation about bad timing crying or bad timing laughing. And they said, like, if you are in a hospital and somebody is maybe having their last few days, that would be a very bad timing to be laughing at a hospital when everyone around you is crying. But then somebody else raised their hand and said, but wait, what if that's what the person needs? What if they are in a hospital because they've gotten some sort of really bad news? Maybe that they have cancer, or maybe that you know, they have to undergo this really big surgery, and they are feeling really sad, but because you are laughing, it causes them to laugh, and it kind of lightens the mood. It makes everything feel a whole lot better. They said, if you're only laughing, you're constantly that hype person. You're constantly that person who is bringing positivity to the table, and that could help people who are constantly crying or constantly feeling sad. And then this brought up another conversation question that I threw out to the class. So I was like, well, what do you guys think you do more often? And unanimously, the question brought every single hand into the air. And unanimously, kids are like, I definitely laugh more often than I cry. 18 kids said, definitely laugh more than cry. And one kid raised their hand and said, wait, do you think that's common? Do you think that's normal, Miss Genta? That every single person raised their hand for laughing. And I said, I love that that's maybe how all of us feel. But I said, I think it would be difficult to maybe admit that you cry more than you laugh. Like, would that be hard to admit? Because if I cried more than I laughed, I don't know how comfortable I would feel admitting that to everyone. And people were like, yeah, I mean, have you seen some of the stuff about like depression on the rise and anxiety on the rise? And I use that term anxiety. And other students in that term use that term anxiety. They like recognize that sometimes crying is associated with anxiety or depression. Those were kids' ideas. And then a student raised their hand and said, speaking of anxiety, I have tons of anxiety, social anxiety about crying in front of people. So I raised my hand for only laughing because if I was around people and they saw me crying, it would make me feel so uncomfortable. I don't want my friends to see that I'm crying. I don't want my family to see that I'm crying. That would raise my anxiety. That would raise negative emotions. And I would just want to hide. I wouldn't want anybody to see that. And I think this is so interesting that this all started as this really simple would you rather question. And hand after hand, explanation after explanation, kids are volunteering their reasons for, here's why these emotions are important to me. Here's why these emotions are creating other feelings and other situations. And we like we're critically analyzing this in a really positive way. In fact, it brought us down another path of somebody said, isn't there this phrase that laughter is contagious? And I said, absolutely, yes. They said, it's really hard to see somebody else laughing and for you to not laugh in response. And I said, that's true. Is there an equivalent to that for crying? Like you see somebody laughing and it's contagious, so you laugh. And somebody said, yeah, I think it's called sympathy tears. If I see my mom or dad crying, even if I don't know why they're crying, it breaks my heart. So then I have sympathy tears. I'm not sure why they're having that emotion, but if I see somebody I love crying, I start crying too. And that's so true. Even as a nearly 40-year-old, if I see a student crying, like sympathy tears well up. But it's also true if I see somebody laughing, I establish this smile on my face and I want to know why they are laughing. And so maybe both of these emotions are contagious, but we call one laughter is contagious. And for whatever reason, we call the other one sympathy tears. And we unpacked that a little bit. One person said that one of the cons of crying all the time is they would feel like the odd one out. If they were hanging out with friends and everybody was laughing and they had tears strolling or streaming down their face, that they would feel like the odd one out and that would make them feel even more uncomfortable. And so what ended up happening is we started just analyzing the differences between these emotions, what it means to laugh and what it means to cry. And I think that's something that maybe we don't do enough of in schools is analyze emotions, analyze feelings. I think sometimes we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to have the proper protocol for that or how to have a proper conversation of that. And I think we overcomplicate it because what if there is no such thing as like the proper way to say, how are you feeling? What if it was just a time in a space, the freedom and the flexibility to say, hey, how's everybody doing today? What if there was a time and a space to just have open conversations for kids to feel the way that they feel? If they need to laugh, they laugh. If they need to cry, they cry. If they want to share, they share. If they need to listen, they listen. And that's exactly why I created the 180 Days of Awesome SEL curriculum. It is full of 180 full lessons with links, with conversations, with activities. And it's completely planned so you don't have to worry about additional prep and additional time away from family, friends, so you can do what you do best, which is teach and reach kids using a proven strategy within these lessons. Over the course of the years, I've actually released two completely separate curriculums, one that's really, really great for elementary students and one that's really, really great for middle school and the start of high school. You can check out these fully planned lessons at monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's Monica, GENTA.com/180SEL. And I'm also going to include a direct link in the show notes. I will tell you that Would You Rather Wednesdays is just one part of this curriculum because there's also Take a Look or Take a Listen Tuesdays, there's Throwdown or Throwback Thursdays, there's Fun Times Fridays, Motivation Mondays, and it's all ready to go and packaged for you. And I'm telling you, you and your students are going to love it. It is different than other curriculum series on the market because it's made for students, with students in mind, and with teachers in mind as well. It's different than the maybe cheesy or out of date stuff that perhaps your school is currently using. You can check out monicagenta.com/180SEL to take a look at both of these curriculum series. I promise that you will love it, and you can check it out in the show notes, and absolutely reach out if you have any questions at all. At one point during this conversation, I will admit it started to get a little heavy because people were talking about, you know, the death of loved ones or the death of pets. And I noticed, because I hit pause for people, that there was energy in the room that could be shifted if we approach laughing a little bit differently. And so I had this memory of laughter when I was a kid, and I don't know if this is a millennial thing. Like, I'm not sure if what I'm about to explain is something that you ever did, but I remember being at like basketball camp. It was either basketball camp or like some sort of maybe church camp, but we were at camp and we did this like laughing circle thing where one person would lay down and then the next person would lay down, but they would put the back of their head on that person's belly button. And you almost formed this like circle. It was a misshapen circle. But the whole goal was that because the back of your head was on somebody's stomach, if one person started laughing, it would create this chain reaction because that person's head would kind of like start bobbling and it would elicit this emotion of laughter because it was kind of silly. It's like you hear the person laughing, your head is kind of shaking up and down, so then you start laughing. But because your head is on somebody else's belly, it's almost this domino effect. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of explaining this, but if you have ever done one of these laying laughter circles, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is this chain reaction of laughter, which is also proof that laughter is contagious. So I told my students about this and I asked them if they had ever experienced it, and they gave me the weirdest looks that I've ever seen. They're like, no, Ms. Genta, nobody does that. And I'm like, well, that's a shame because we got to bring that back. But I asked them, what is the equivalent of this generation? Like, what is the equivalent of, man, that gets everybody laughing? And they're like, oh, there's like content on TikTok or Instagram of this. It's like trying not to laugh videos. Or they'll have like pets doing really silly things, or somebody will like run into a glass door that's closed, and so they'll kind of like run into it, and it's kind of like these hurt humor videos. But they said, Magenta, on YouTube, you can like find these try not to laugh videos. That's the equivalent, because those get everybody laughing and it becomes this contagious thing. And so while it's different than a laying laughter circle from like 1999 basketball camp at Eastern Illinois University, there is still the equivalence in the 2020s, okay? And I think that's important to illustrate. I think sometimes we get so stuck on kids are different. They're not wired the same way they used to be. The society has changed. That's true. It's absolutely true, but I think there are actually more similarities than there are differences, which brings us back to the conversation at the very beginning of this episode, where these business owners were just hating on this generation of kids. They were slaying them, saying they don't care about jobs. They're so selfish. They are only looking out at their own interests. And then I told them a little bit about the conversation with the would you rather laugh or would you rather cry? And empathy poured out of the classroom. Kids were talking about how much they cared about other people and how they would never want to look insensitive. They would never want to look disrespectful. They would never want to feel like they are the odd person out. Their emotions are the same as the emotions that we had when we were kids. They just surface a little bit differently, right? I think we have got to get off our kind of high horses of kids are different than they used to be. Hell yeah, they are. And we are different than what the generation before us was. And it doesn't make us worse or better. It just makes it different. We get a story to tell. And I think it's important that we stand up when the story starts going in a different direction that's not painting the people that we work with every single day in a positive light. And so I looked at these business owners and I was like, guys, if you want to see compassion, step into a classroom. Yes, there's a lot of weird social media culture. Yes, kids say words and phrases that mean like who knows what. But we're a lot more similar than we are different. And so once I kind of explained to these business owners about this would you rather, they were very intrigued. In fact, after we did our initial vote, which was 8 to 10. Remember, at the very beginning of the episode, the initial super secret vote was 8 to 10. I need you to know at the end of all of my would you rather remixes, we re-vote and we talk about would you change your vote, why or why not. Now after we've talked about it and we've looked at all these pros and cons about happy or sad tears or what about situations in a funeral or what about funny content or what about you being the hype person and laughing and creating positivity, what about sympathy fears and laughter is contagious. After we unpacked all of this, the students got the opportunity to re-vote. And I will tell you, the votes changed. After it was all said and done, it went from 8 to 10 to 10 to 8. Would you rather only cry for the rest of your life or only laugh for the rest of your life? When we were done with the dynamic discussion, 10 kids said, I would rather only cry. And 8 kids said, I would rather only laugh. And there was a big flip-flop on that because people said, I care about other people more. I am willing to sacrifice my laughter to be a good friend. I am willing to laugh no longer if that means that I can sympathize and have compassion and have camaraderie with people who are hurting. And if that's not a hell yeah for this generation, I don't know what is. But now I'm curious. If you started using the 180 Days of Awesome SEO curriculum in your classroom, if you did this Would You Rather remix in your classroom, what would the results be? Would it be similar to what happened in my rural Illinois classroom, or would it be completely different? Would the conversation go in a different direction? Maybe. Probably. But would it still have this underlying tone of kids are compassionate, people are awesome, and we want to be connected with each other. I just think there is something really powerful about these would you rathers. I think there's something really powerful about saying, you know what? We care about relationships so much. We care about the social and emotional needs of kids so much. We want these kids to be college, career, and life ready so much that we are willing to do activities and do lessons and implement better curriculum so that this can be created in the classrooms. I hope that just me explaining this one lesson that I did in my classroom creates awesome things for your students in your classroom as well. Reminder, you can check out the entire curriculum at monicagenta.com/180SEL. And then when you try this example in your own classroom, will you do me a favor? Will you message me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, shoot me an email? I'm curious about the results and the data from your discussions from your students. I want to thank you so much for being willing to try new things and explore new things and experiment with new things. But most importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.